This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. I have always liked beef jerky ever since I was a kid. I suppose you would expect that from someone whose childhood was in both western Nebraska and Santa Maria. I remember discovering shredded beef jerky in cans resembling tobacco chew. Why, as a preteen, I thought that was cool, I have no idea. Until recently, I only ever saw beef jerky in convenience stores next to the cash register or at the gas station. Occasionally, there would be clear plastic boxes that contained large sheets of jerky. I used to joke that someone could use them to make a purse or a man bag. Now that Lady Gaga has worn a meat dress, a jerky handbag doesn't seem so exotic. More about that later. What is beef jerky?
According to Wikipedia, jerky is lean meat that has been trimmed of fat, cut into strips, and then dried to prevent spoilage. The word jerky is derived from the Quechua word chiarki, which means dry, salted meat. All that is needed to produce basic jerky is a low-temperature drying method and salt to inhibit bacterial growth.
I want to make my own beef jerky. Low temperature and salt. I think I can do that. I want to get some advice first. So I headed up to Salinas and spoke to John Bailey of Beefy Boys Jerky Company, who pretty much affirmed the definition of jerky.
Beef jerky is dried meat that's just purely the meat. It doesn't have anything else in it. It doesn't have fat on it. All the fat's been trimmed off before you dry it. And then it's cured, and it's cured in a number of different traditional ways. The main curing ingredient is salt. I sincerely don't know the whole history of beef jerky. I know the jerky that we make was developed by the Westerners coming out from the East Coast out to California on the trail. And so they would start with venison, you know, a lot of deer, and they would dry it with salt, and they would actually just hang it in the air to dry. They would air dry it. And that would cure it, and then they would bring it in their saddlebags without any, you know, wrapping or anything like that. That method is pretty much the same marinating method that we use today.
The beef jerky industry has changed quite a bit in the last decade. I'm now seeing beef jerky prominently displayed in the snack section of the grocery store. It enjoys a significant online and social media presence, and I have reconnected with beef jerky at the various food and drink festivals where the craft jerky producers have been promoting their wares. Beefy Boys is one of those jerkies.
You know, when I travel, I like to sample the beef jerky of that area, of that region. It's very similar to craft beers. Down your way, one I would give a hat tip to would be like Cattaneo Brothers, which everybody knows them. They've been around forever. Ray's Own Brand is one that is similar, that's down south there. Then you have national companies, something like a Lawless Jerky, which is also started by another attorney, which is why he kind of has the name Lawless, because he actually quit practicing law to do beef jerky. There's one called Blackjack out of Oklahoma. You know, there's a whole bunch of really unique craft products. I think what's really important for consumers is to look at the label, look at the ingredients that they're putting in those products, because there's a lot you can do by adding things to products to change your yield, putting in corn syrup, but nobody really wants to eat corn syrup. Those companies that I'm mentioning are ones where you read the label and you feel like, okay, these companies are putting a quality product together.
So the jerky industry has really upped its game. He mentioned Ray's and Cattaneo Brothers, both located in San Luis Obispo. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to check out their operations, but I will definitely be checking out their products. How did we get to this point?
Craft beef jerky craze has probably started within the last 5 years. I think the paleo diet got people really looking at proteins. The companies, you know, that you're talking about have really been around. So it's not like they started because of the craze. They got recognized because of the craze. And the ones that you're mentioning are the ones that haven't sold out. I've read an article, for example, on Crave. They were at a meeting where they're talking about growing their brand, and they got their first check from Whole Foods. It was over $400,000 for their first order. My personal belief, online grocery sales are going to change the marketplace for food. Every month, a growing proportion of our business comes through online sales. Beefyboys.com, we just actually bought that website just because we had more and more online sales going on.
I'm not quite to the point of selling out to a large national food company or selling online, but I'm sure those craft jerky makers started out in their kitchens, just like I'm attempting to do. Craig Bray is the chief jerky chef and founder of Beefy Boys. Craig talked me through the basics so I could get an idea of what I might do in my kitchen, but on a much smaller scale.
That's beef that's cured in different spices, liquids. You know, London broil's good, sirloin, anything that's really lean. Prep it into small strips. You don't want it too thick because you're going to get mold. You know, and it's put in our seasonings and it's cured and then dehydrated. There's a process to it. You know, it'd have to marinate for, you know, I would say up to 36 hours. After that, drain all your liquids and stuff. Let it dry a little bit before dehydrating it. You want it over 162 degrees. Food dehydrators, or you can do them in your oven if your oven goes down low enough. Probably 5 hours if you got airflow, like in a convection oven.
Then we went on a tour.
It's put in the cooler. We cut it at about 29 degrees, and it's cut on this deli slicer.
Yeah.
Got our marinade put in these tubs here. And after it's cut up, we've got a guy that stacks it out, weighs it out. These tubs here, it was just cut today. That's all your seasonings, spices. You put the meat into the tubs, weigh out the tubs, dump your marinade into the bucket, and then it's hand stacked into the marinade. This is a reserve here. This is an original, your thinner cut.
Okay,
and
so
this will be cooked on Monday.
Today is Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
And you're gonna cook it on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
So lots of flavor.
The trays are put on these.
They look like regular old bakery racks.
Yes. Yeah. We've got four of these, and after these are loaded up, there's 14 trays on each cart. Anywhere from, I would say, 105 to 115 pounds. Wheel them in, and that's about it. We cook Monday and Tuesdays. One load goes in the morning, and there's an afternoon load. And that's turned off in the evening and sits because we are under USDA inspection. You can't touch anything until the inspector's here the next morning. And then we've got four sets of carts. And when this gets loaded on Monday morning, you've got two other here. And the guys start loading those at about 9:30. And once these come out, the other load goes in. So you're getting four loads a day.
Four loads a day? I think I'll stick with a small steak from the grocery store. Start small. Craig's tutorial was very helpful in giving me a picture of how to make my own jerky. Jerky is so simple. Thin strips of fat-free beef with salt and low temperature drying. I think I'm ready.
Here I am trying to make my own beef jerky. I found some clearance top sirloin steaks in the supermarket that are already cut to a quarter of an inch thick. My marinade is going to be very simple. It's going to be salt, pepper, and a whizzed up serrano chili. I've cut off all the fat because the fat will go rancid even after the drying process. And I've got it in this liquid sloshing around and it's ready to go. We'll just see how it works.
So that's the curing and the flavors done. Now time for the low temperature drying. Easier said than done.
It's 6:15 in the morning. I'm a little bit blurry-eyed, but here I am coming into my garage to get this small smoker that I have. So I'm a bit tired, a bit blurry-eyed, but if it's really gonna take 12 to 15 hours to do this, I've gotta start now. Of course, I'm not gonna do it inside the garage, so I'm gonna move everything out and get everything set up and see what happens with this beef jerky. My fire is now up to the right temperature, so I'm going to put the meat onto the grill. You can hear the early morning birds tweeting.
I would say that I'm off to a good start.
I have a slight admission here. I came out to check on it after an hour, and I put some more coals on, and I decided I better put the thermometer out there. So my oven thermometer is in Fahrenheit, and my meat thermometer is in Celsius because I bought it when I lived in Britain. My oven thermometer can't sit in the right place, so I used my meat thermometer. I've been having trouble this summer getting a big enough and hot enough fire because I've been really stingy with my coals. And so I thought the same thing for this smoker, and of course, built a bigger fire than I needed to. That means it was 110 degrees Celsius when I took the lid off after an hour and 15 minutes. I've now taken the lid off and it's about 62 degrees Celsius. 110 degrees Celsius is 230 degrees Fahrenheit. Way too hot. 60 degrees Celsius is about 145 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what I need. So I'm at the right temperature now, but I've essentially cooked one side and I'm smoking the other side. I don't think I ruined it. but there's certainly not going to be any bacteria lurking around in there after I cooked it for an hour at 230 degrees. So I'm going to add more coals and continue to sit here and watch meat dry.
I watched the meat dry for a couple of hours, but not 12 to 15 like I read online. It was more like 6 hours. Then I got bored. What I had was beef with the texture of pork rinds. There was no moisture at all. It was because I cooked one side at 230 degrees Fahrenheit for an hour. But I tried. That's the whole point of this show, playing with food.
It's a lot drier than other beef jerkies that are on the shelf. Ours is kind of unique. There's nothing else out there really like it.
Craig, I think I got you beat. One of my parishioners has been making beef jerky at home for a number of years. Perhaps he can help me understand the process more.
I'm Lee Hollister, retired dentist from San Luis Obispo.
Of Hollister Peak fame.
We're going to make just basic homemade oven dried jerky. We're going to use some commercial seasonings. There's the piece of meat that we're going to use right there, and I've trimmed it a little bit now, so I got most of the, what little bit of fat there was on it off. You know, we have some very good jerky makers in town, commercial ones. We have Catania Brothers, Raison brand.
Have you made a lot of beef jerky and perfected your recipe?
No, I do it as the mood strikes me.
Do you think it's good for you? You're a doctor.
Of course it is. If there's not too much salt and all those other things that are supposedly bad for you. The mountain men used to live on it. They just stick some in their saddlebags and away they'd go. Jerky back in those days was air dried. I still know a couple people that air dried some jerky. They build a wooden frame with screens to keep the flies out of it, and they just hang the meat over strings or wires and let it dry for a week or two.
You've now sprinkled it all. You've thrown it into the bowl.
Yeah, just using my hands to turn it and kind of work some of the seasoning into the meat. Put it at about 160 degrees and an hour and a half. Something this thin should be ready to go.
Do you like it to be more chewy or do you like it to be more tough?
I did a thicker batch last week, and if it's thicker, it really needs to be dried quite a bit longer. It was almost too chewy. So I actually, last night, I ran it for about another hour. St. Hilaire Zinfandel for this one.
Is it important to have the heavier grape varietals for this? You don't think a nice buttery Chardonnay will work?
I don't think so.
Maybe for the fish jerky.
Maybe so, maybe it will. That's all we need.
Okay, and then you're going to stir that up?
I will. Massage it in there a little bit. We'll put some plastic wrap over it. We'll put her away 24 hours or a little more. We'll go ahead and start to dry it.
Great. I'll come back tomorrow.
You're welcome to.
Maybe I should really use my oven instead of trying my smoker. It's more reliable. I went back the next day to try Lee's homemade beef jerky.
I have some sheet jerky. I put it in my smoker. The temperature was a little bit too high. I got
what
the temperature.
What was it, do you remember?
It was about 240 degrees.
That's a little bit high.
Your jerky looks a little bit moister and tender. Let's try yours first. Here you go. It's very nice. What hits me first, very different from commercial jerky, is that it tastes like beef first, and then the seasonings, mm-hmm. and then it's dried. Mm-hmm. Whereas commercial jerky tends to taste like dry first, and then the beef kind of comes later.
If you eat some of the fresh jerky that comes out of either Catania's or Raison brand, mm-hmm. it's pretty similar to this.
Okay, now, let me break off a little piece for you. As you saw, it broke cleanly.
Yeah, it's just a little bit overcooked. I like it chewier. Flavor is good.
I definitely have to give this another try.
Since my beef jerky turned out to be a disaster, and now that I've had the tutorial from Dr. Hollister, I thought I would try again. So I went to the supermarket again and found some thin strips of beef that are on clearance. They're already cut to 1/4 inch, and I'm gonna just use garlic salt and pepper on it. I'm not gonna marinate it at all or put it in any brine, and I'm going to pay closer attention to the temperature on my smoker. Here I am at my second attempt. I've got my little smoker slash barbecue thing out again. I made a less robust fire, so it looks like it's struggling, but the coals are turning white. What I've decided to do this time, which is probably very, very important to do every time, is that I have my oven thermometer right on top of the grill. That way it's measuring the temperature that is touching the meat. What's going to happen is halfway through, I'm going to take them off. I'm going to barbecue for some friends. And then as the coals die and get cooler and stay at that 160 degree temperature, I'm going to leave those on as we enjoy our meal, as we enjoy some wine and enjoy the summer evening. Looking at this new beef jerky, I'm really proud of myself. It is drier than Dr. Hollister's, but it's not as dry as Beefy Boy's. It is still quite thick, and it's still got some flexibility in it. It doesn't crumble. I'm gonna taste it. You still got some chew, which is good. It's not crumbly like the other one. It's very peppery, put a lot of pepper on it, and very enjoyable. So I'm gonna take it to church tomorrow and have Dr. Hollister try it and see what he thinks. I'm here with Dr. Hollister. I had another try at making beef jerky, and my last one was a bit too dry. So I wanted to try this one.
Tear off a little piece.
Okay.
Much better.
Much better?
Much better. You didn't have the heat as high.
Nope.
I can tell. It's not crunchy, and it's just exactly the right texture. I like it.
Success. Once I perfect this, I can branch out to other things. Along my journey of discovery of all things jerky, I came across all types of jerky. Turkey jerky is probably the one that most people have heard of, but there was also buffalo, salmon, and even vegetable jerky. The most interesting jerky I found comes from a fish shop in Santa Barbara.
Brian Colgate, I'm the owner of the Santa Barbara Fish Market. Shark jerky is just an amazing product. It actually will work with virtually any shark species. Primarily what we focus on using for the jerky is going to be mako shark, thresher shark. We'll also see some other angel shark. Well, the shark is just a great protein as far as the texture of it. It's a firm texture. It's got a mild flavor to it. It takes well to brines and different salting and curing, pepper, sugar, all those different elements that go into creating different flavors of jerky. The meat will hold those flavors really well. Most consumers are looking for, with a jerky, they're looking for a firmer texture that they can actually chew and it'll have some substance to it. Sole or a very soft textured pollock or something would be not very well received for most of the population looking to enjoy some jerky. Our shark primarily comes from the Santa Barbara Channel and offshore of the Santa Barbara Harbor. Jerky is produced in California. There's a couple different producers that will do jerky and a couple different plants. Yeah, the shark jerky that we're selling is 100% shark that we're producing. A couple markets were doing it up in the Central California area. I came across the jerky there, then connected with a couple of the larger producers. We got a recipe that we were happy with how they're doing it, and so we're just rolling with it like that. I think we've been doing it for at least 10 years now. We've been doing shark jerky. It's one of those items where it's not a huge volume item, but I would say it's definitely a favorite for a lot of our customers and younger generation kids and whatnot. I've had some friends in the past that are not fish lovers. A couple of different instances, I allowed them to try out some of this jerky that I had, and so they gladly tried it. They were, you know, meat eaters. They were enjoyed it thoroughly, and only after they had tried it did I mention to them that it was actually made from shark. It was just amazing that they couldn't actually pick that up out of the initial sampling of it. I wouldn't go saying, you know, it doesn't have a fish taste at all, but it definitely is surprisingly mild comparing to if you're going to have a fresh cooked piece of fish on a plate comparing to a piece of jerky. We don't do any distribution to stores. We just have it directly out of our retail store, off of our website, online fish market at sbfish.com. But absolutely, if there are stores that are interested, it's not that we don't want to be able to have them offering it. I would just say come on by our retail store and have a free sample. We're very excited to give samples out. It's an awesome product. Give it a try.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to taste it.
I actually do not have any shark jerky on my person right now. We do have a large event in Santa Barbara, Old Spanish Days. So we have a stand that we do in Daly Air Plaza there where shark jerky is a major item for that. We do have a shipment arriving next week that's going to be stocking us well for that event.
I'll get some on my next visit to Santa Barbara, perhaps during old Spanish days. At Slow Natural Foods, the co-op I visited in May and June, there was mushroom jerky right there at the checkout counter. I would have tried it, but I really don't like mushrooms. The lady said it doesn't taste like mushrooms. But then, why mask something so much that it doesn't have its original character? I'm sure there are plenty of people who would enjoy the mushroom jerky. As for jerky diversification at Beefy Boys, it's kind of in the name.
Well, we're Beefy Boys, so obviously we're into beef jerky. People come by our plant all the time with deer and ask if we can make deer jerky. We can't because it's a USDA-inspected facility. Turkey jerky we actually can make. We're poultry, and we may get into that eventually. And then other different types of jerky products. I know there's companies that are making cannabis-infused jerky. It's a big movement in Salinas because of the legalization of medical marijuana and recreational marijuana is coming up. We don't do that because we're a USDA-inspected facility, and USDA is federal, and so we're following federal law to the T. But we're totally supportive of the medical marijuana movement and companies that are getting into that space. And I believe that it's just a matter of time before the federal regulations are going to adapt to allow that kind of stuff going on at a federal level. If it's legal, we're totally in support of doing it. We are Beefy Boys, so we're really a beef product company. That is kind of our customer niche. There's no doubt that eventually we're going to get into turkey jerky just because we have way too many customers asking for it. But if we do it, I'm sure it's going to be local turkey that we're buying. Pretty hard to find that nowadays. So, you know, we might have to do chicken or some other kind of poultry, but we're already approved to do that through the USDA and through the California Department of Food and Agriculture. So we're looking forward to additional markets. If there's a customer that wants to buy it and there's volume and it can fit within our model of local and sustainable, we're going to do it.
Cannabis-infused beef jerky? Wow! I came across cannabis-infused chocolate when researching for my first show on chocolate. Perhaps I should explore the cannabis-infused food industry in a later episode. Warning, don't attempt this at home. As far as similar products go, I told Dr. Hollister about my craving for beef jerky while I lived in the UK.
Have you ever had biltong? Obviously, every culture has a dried meat product.
Okay, no,
and
I have not.
In South Africa and Australia, they have what's called biltong, which is very much like beef jerky, but it's wetter. So it tastes like beef jerky, but it's got the texture of dead flesh.
Oh,
it's kind of, it's simply a texture thing. It's a texture thing. So I was in London and I saw some biltong, and beef jerky hadn't become popular yet. Well, it's still not popular. But biltong, I thought, oh, that's like beef jerky. And it's a lot cheaper than beef jerky because, of course, it was imported from South Africa instead of the U.S. And I tasted it, and it tasted delicious, but the texture was a bit strange. So I got back to campus. That was when I was at University of Chapman. And one of our students was from Australia. And she says, I love biltong. And I said, here, have it.
One last thing about the products I reviewed. The fact that the shark is caught in Santa Barbara waters and the jerky is made from that shark speaks volumes about the importance of locally produced products. John Bailey at Beefy Boys believes strongly in the localness of his product.
All of our beef is sourced within 120 miles of our plant here in Salinas, California. You know, we know exactly where our beef comes from. All of our wine is grown in Monterey County. It's actually grown by Scheid Family Wines. All of our spices we buy locally, so like the hot pepper spices we're buying here. All of our garlic is coming from Gilroy, which is just 30 miles up the road. So we do source our ingredients locally wherever possible. There's some ingredients like soy and soy sauce where you can't do that because they don't grow enough soy right around here. The Central Coast, I think more than anywhere else, people are really focused on farm to table because there's so much great produce. There's a lot of beef here on the Central Coast, pastured pork. There's actually a lot of pastured poultry now. Eggs, you know, we buy pasture chick eggs. So I believe that in Central Coast of California, it's kind of the birthplace of farm to table because you really could do farm to table for everything. And now that's just kind of growing into a national movement. As far as the beef jerky, I think it's more of the source of the production being near the source of manufacture. So I do think that people like to know that the cattle that we're purchasing aren't traveling all around the world. It really does help with the greenhouse gases, the fact that you don't have to ship product all over the world, that basically you have the animal here. The slaughter facility is close to the manufacturing facility. And then the beef is produced into beef jerky right near where the farm is. And it's a very, very familiar taste. It's very unique to Monterey County.
Local sourcing is all the rage. Surely it's easier here than in other parts of the country. This jerky journey has been a good one. John agrees.
Anyone who has not tried beef jerky because they've had an experience in the past with it being what you typically would have at the gas station needs to start reading the backs of bags at the local stores where they're shopping. And if they see a brand they're not familiar with, it's there for a reason because it's different than the usual stuff that you'll see. And Beefy Boys is just one of probably 100 interesting brands in the beef jerky space. And we're totally supportive of every single one of those unique craft brands that are coming up.
I tried several of those unique craft brands. Craig was certainly right when he told me that Beefy Boys is drier than most. I tried all 7 of their flavors. The original beef jerky was very dry and definitely exercised the jaw. It didn't turn to dust like my first attempt. It was a great product, as was their thicker cut reserve, which is slightly drier than my second attempt, and full of flavor. Catania Brothers' thick cut natural style was on par with the texture of mine, and their range chili cayenne was a bit firmer. It's really nice, but it wasn't near as hot as Beefy Boy's hot peppered beef jerky, which was coated in red pepper flakes, and I loved it. Chef's cut chipotle cracked pepper real steak jerky out of Naples, Florida, was given to me by a friend. It was the most moist, almost like biltong. It wasn't hot enough, and too sweet for my taste. Another local jerky, a slice of Templeton, was tender and delicious. And when I was driving out in one of the rural remote parts of California, I had to buy some J.C. Rivers Ghost Pepper beef jerky at the Outpost, just outside of Pear Blossom in the Antelope Valley. J.C. Rivers is out of Sun Valley, California. Its ghost pepper was certainly the hottest. That's a lot of beef jerky I've tasted. Maybe I should have bought that mushroom jerky. Right on the package it said, lots of fiber. I will keep eating jerky, making sure to try local jerkies wherever I go. It's portable and, like its original purpose, it can survive the journey. And maybe it can be a bit evangelical. Brian Colgate at Santa Barbara Fish Company gave me an idea.
My sister doesn't like fish, right? She lives in Oakland and she hates fish. When my brother-in-law and she come down, we'll go out to Hartford Pier, to the fish market there. And my sister's like, no, you guys go ahead, and we never eat fish. Because we don't want her to be playing the martyr kind of thing. So I wonder if I could, next time I see her, give her a piece of shark jerky and see if she can tell what it is.
I would be interested to hear how that would go.
I'll do it.
Oh, remember Lady Gaga's meat dress that she wore at the MTV Video Music Awards in 2010? It's been jerkied as the dress and is on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. I think I'll leave you with that thought. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian. And I'm playing with food.